Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Mahomes will be under center. He'll be at his own 42 with a second, two. He gets the snap, spins, hands Pacheco over the right guard on the hash, digs and falls through the first down at the 45 of Kansas City. This is amazing. A first down run by the hard-charging Pacheco.
Chris Jones waving goodbye to the crowd. He's now dodging snowballs.
Every time I go up against Josh, I know that it's going to come down to the end just because of the competitor that he is and the player that he is. You appreciate that stuff. I mean, these are the games I watched growing up. The great quarterbacks going up against each other with great football teams, great organizations, and that's what I remember. So hopefully I'm making, like I said earlier in the week, hopefully we're making those memories for other little kids that are growing up watching football.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher. Guys, I think it's easier. You heard Mahomes at the top of the show.
Yes, we did.
To recall those memories when you're always on the winning side. I think the Josh Allen side is feeling just a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. I remember, would you guys like to hear me talk about, like, for example, the season that Live at Noon on the Cock put together in our show league? Because I remember all of them, every single move. Like week six, I was worried about my flex. And so, you know, I could go through that minutia. But no, yeah, exactly. It's easy for Mahomes. Did you see the I think there was I forget who tweeted this out. I want to say it was Albert Breer. I forget who. But, like, just basically that Patrick Mahomes was named the starting quarterback of the Chiefs in 2018. He's never not played in the AFC Championship game.
No, it's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Right.
It's like how LeBron. Historic. LeBron has made the finals every year. It's like he's just taken for granted. Like this is the same thing. Again, Mahomes is LeBron. It's just the exact same thing, different sport.
I'd actually argue, no, it's because I think, listen, you know me, I'm a massive LeBron fan.
It's harder. It's harder.
It's harder. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like in basketball, one dominant player, a LeBron, a Jordan, a Kobe, you know, a Greek freak, whatever you want. Like one guy can make a difference and carry like a bunch of like so-so guys, at least, you know, to an extent. But like you can't do that in football. In theory, you shouldn't be able to.
Yep.
Right? I mean, there's special teams and defense and like, you know, but somehow, some way, like it's. He's
this,
that dude.
This is the worst team he's been on as well.
By far.
It doesn't feel like this is a Super Bowl winning team, but he's a Super Bowl winning player, and that might all that matters. And we might look back on this season at the end of it and be like, oh, it's just Mahomes again.
How did this team win? Like, what is this team doing here? Like, you know, anyway, it's unbelievable.
We'll jump right into it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are going to preview the conference championships with our best bets. But before we do that, let's look back at the divisional round recap from a wild weekend, of course. And we'll start right there with the Chiefs at Buffalo. Mahomes, very efficient day, 17-23, 215 yards and two touchdowns. And guys, when they needed him most, Travis Kelce stepped up in a big, big way in this game.
He did. You know, give credit where credit's due. I mean, honestly, like, it was a blown coverage on the first touchdown and on the second touchdown. Like, you know, give the guy credit. He got 3 yards, he got to the edge, he got to the corner, and he made a tough play into the end zone. He makes the heart to Taylor in the corner. God bless.
I thought that was to Jason.
Yeah.
It might have been. By the way, and rightfully so, because Jason's a legend. They both are. He's got a couple legends in his corner. Jason's a legend. There he is right there for those who are watching on Peacock or YouTube. There he is. Taylor, also a legend as well. Marquez Valdez-Scantling caught two balls. I just want to reference that
one was a beauty.
Yeah, right. He actually made
tight coverage for Sul Douglas.
Right, you kind of had to go, is that MBS when he came up with the ball?
Tyreek back.
Yeah, disappointing game for Rashee Rice just because of the if you bet the over on his prop, he did not hit it, but 4 for 47, caught everything that went his way. It was just, they had the big play to Kelsey. They just didn't need it. They were running the ball so effectively, and that's the key. I will, just to spin this forward for a second, I thought, obviously, great game for Travis Kelsey. But, if he comes back next year, and I don't think it's a given that he's coming back next year, I feel like, and I love Travis Kelsey. I'm in, I have three different main dynasty leagues that I truly care about, and I have Kelsey on all of them. So I love Travis Kelsey, but I think I'm out on him next year for redraft. Unless you're getting him super cheap. If he even comes back. I feel like there's a chance he doesn't.
Yeah. I thought it was telling, and they talked about this a bit on the broadcast, about how he has looked so much more spry and athletic these past 2 weeks. He just looks better. He looks faster. Yeah. And I wonder if next year is when he goes on the Gronk, or if we're using NBA analogies again, the Andre Iguodala thing, where he just kind of takes the regular sit. They just manage him through it, and then he's just full go for the
playoffs. He's just playing 20 snaps a game. Yeah, which is high leverage snaps, red zone snaps, that kind of thing.
And then he's Travis Kelsey again in the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, he would look fantastic. I think Rashee Rice, he's so banged up in this game. He's just constantly limping around. So hopefully he's okay for next week. But I think that would explain why. And the other thing, too, is that, Mahomes only had 23 pass attempts. And when you're watching the first half, it kind of felt like, oh, the Bills should be winning this by more. But you only felt that way because they were just constantly on the field. The Chiefs ended the game with 7.7 yards per play. That's insane. The Bills were 4.7. The better team won this game despite how close the Bills were in the end.
Yeah, it seemed like, wasn't there, I think there was only one drive they didn't score on?
Yeah, they kneeled at the end of the first half, and then they punted in the fourth quarter where the Bills did get one stop. And then they drove down and they missed field goal.
They got two stops. That penalty was a little BS on 42.
That's true.
But
Hardman obviously fumbled out.
Right.
The
yeah. I mean, we'll get into that in a second.
Yeah, we will go there.
Yeah. I feel bad for the Bills for a variety of reasons, right? We love Buffalo. Obviously, I'm a big Josh Allen fan. I'm in business with Josh Allen. He's a proud Fantasy Life investor. Love the Bills, love Josh Allen. And so much of the conversation in the offseason will be about, Josh Allen, a couple of missed throws, obviously the missed kick from Tyler Bass, and we're going to get to the Bills in a second. But, the defense, which was so beat up, that's the thing. I don't feel like anyone's talking about how beat up the Bills' defense was. And, obviously, Mahomes and the offense did what they wanted to in this game.
There was a point, Connor, when A.J. Klein got hurt and came out for a play. I was like, oh, no. They've lost AJ Klein. What's going to happen?
Right.
This guy wasn't in the NFL 2 weeks ago. Now he's their signal caller on defense, and they're really going to miss his absence. It just felt like Rasul Douglas, he wasn't right.
He did not. He looked 30% healthy in this game. He was such a great acquisition for that team.
I think with the Bills, I thought Allen played quarterback, particularly the first three quarters, about as well as it can possibly be played. The third down touchdown, from 13 out, just his running ability. It just seemed like it was like Derrick Henry if he could throw like Joe Burrow. It was completely insane. And then, yes, he has a couple of misses at the end. He has the fumble, which no one's going to talk about, but that could have cost him the game.
Should have.
Because it felt like that was minus 1,000 to be recovered by the Chiefs in real time because they had all the bodies around it. But Allen was magnificent, and we're talking about him and this team a lot differently if Stephon Diggs can just come down with that 60-yard
bomb. That's the thing. I mean, lots to unpack there on the Bills side of the ball, which is, first off, you're right. Not only Stephon Diggs needs to come down with that ball. There was also a long pass to Deontay Hardy. Was it a Sherfield or Hardy that I'm thinking of that hit the ground and it rolled around a little bit? Was it Sherfield? Sherfield. Sorry. So Sherfield, right. That's one that needs to come down with as well. Neither of those guys hit it. The Diggs one is particularly concerning. We'll get into Diggs here in a minute. But you're right. On that final drive, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to. Around the 50-yard line, Josh Allen has a fumble that the Bills have no business recovering.
No.
There's a zillion different Chiefs. Yeah. Somehow comes out of nowhere and comes up with it. And then, of course, later in that drive is ultimately the missed field goal. But, there's that. And then there's also on that last drive for Josh Allen, it was super weird because I don't know if this was the play call or the design, but, the idea was as they were and they talked about this in the broadcast, but, they're driving down, and there's, 3.5, 4 minutes left or whatever. And the idea is, hey, they're grinding out this drive. They're going to leave no time for Patrick Mahomes. They know from, 2 years ago, 12 seconds is too much. 13 right. seconds is too much for Patrick Mahomes. Like, you need to literally, like, on the score on the last play of the game, yep. in essence. And so they're there, and it's that 3rd and 7, and they have a couple guys in the flat. Just get the first down. Instead, they go to the end zone. He does have Shakir open,
yeah.
and that's a throw that Josh Allen normally makes, and that's a touchdown. But that's still, even if they score, that's a minute 47 left for the Chiefs with some timeouts. Like, that's, I believe that's the correct time.
That was where it was. And here's the thing. Here's why I think this is the difference between Mahomes and Allen. I think Mahomes is just the smarter quarterback, and he just understands game situation a lot more. Like, if it's ever, like, 4th and 17, Mahomes always throws it at least 17 yards in the air. Just, like, little things like that. And on this play, like, he's got Diggs wide open in the shallow cross, and that's going to be a first down. And I think the problem there is that, yes, Allen is going for the home run ball because he's a home run hitter, and he gets knocked off, and maybe he can complete the throw. But to your point, Matthew, with the way that they were playing with the clock, I think it was more valuable to get a first down there than score a touchdown.
Correct.
Because if you score the touchdown, then Mahomes has got all that time, and they haven't been able to stop him at all. If you get the first down, then you can do what Shane Steichen was trying to do against the Texans, where you just run it down to basically zero, and which would have ended the game more or less. So it was
hopefully,
just...
or at least given Tyler Bassett a shorter field goal than 41 yards as well. And it also would have given James Cook a couple of more rushing attempts as well. This is unbelievable. This is so brutal. Okay. So James Cook's rushing prop on DraftKings was 61.5. Okay. I took the over. Not to make this all about me, but I'm going to take a moment here to make it about me. I had a 4-leg parlay. I had Khalil Shakir over on the receiving yards. That cashed. I had Josh Allen over on the rushing yards. That cashed. I had Stephon Diggs under on the receiving yards. That cashed. And I had over on James Cook 61.5 rushing yards. That cashed. Or it had at the start of the fourth quarter when James Cook had 67 rushing yards entering the fourth quarter. But then pull up this tweet by Sam Hoppen here, Stephen, if you don't mind. My friend Sam Hoppen. This is what he tweeted out. James Cook's rushing yards line was 61.5 yards. He had 67 rushing yards entering the fourth quarter. His final four carries went for minus 4 yards, minus 3 yards, 0 yards, 1 yard. Final count, 61 yards. You get gotten by the hook. The under cashes. My parlay does not cash. I'm a bitter berry, Jay Croucher.
You know what the worst part of this is? And you may not even know this, but so he was initially at 62, and then there was a stat correction that took him down to 61. So on top of all of that, with all of that, he still went over. And then there was a stat correction after the fact that took him down to 61. That's about as bad as it gets. There's right. a Rashad White one, yeah. too, which we'll talk about, where he was yeah. basically over at half and then goes under, which seems impossible. But that was a tough one for
Cook. That was a brutal bad beat. And it also, by the way, it affected that final drive. I mean, they just couldn't block the Chiefs' defensive line. You know, betting aside for a second, like, it just, they had run the ball so effectively for the first three quarters, and then they just couldn't. They turned into a one-dimensional offense in that fourth quarter, in that final drive. And obviously, they still had a shot, but, like, you would have liked to have seen that. Couple other takeaways here for me from the Bills, and then I want to circle back on the Chiefs because there's one last one I want to make on Kansas City. But I'm super nervous. So, in one of my dynasty leagues, I had a shot at the title. And so, like, and there's one team in my league that's just a juggernaut. And they're a juggernaut because there's one team in my league that's super dumb. And this juggernaut team is just completely ripped off the dumb team.
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to say any names because they're all people in the fantasy industry. And I don't want to, like,
right, start it.
They have, I'll tell you guys off the air.
They have a feeder team. A lot of people accuse the Oakland Athletics of doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
in baseball for the Braves.
Yeah, I mean, like, producer Damien's in this league with me, and he agrees with me. But I don't want to start anything, I really thought the guy that the juggernaut team ended up winning the title, and I thought that, like, the trophy should literally say this person's name and the feeder team's name because it's just literally they've combined for a super team. Point of the whole story is that I had a very good team, you know, Cup, McCaffrey, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, I felt like I needed a little edge. And so at the trade deadline, I traded my first-round pick next year for Stephon Diggs. Mm. That did not work out well.
No.
He was brutal down the stretch for me. I do have Stephon Diggs. I don't have my first-round pick next year. It's still a very good young team. I'll have a full season of Kyler Murray and the whole thing. But I'm nervous, guys, about Stephon Diggs in my dynasty league. And I, I'm not sure where to rank him. Three of his final five games, he had under 30 receiving yards. With Joe Brady as the interim offensive coordinator, and I assume Joe Brady's coming back and will get that title full time, he had under 80 receiving yards in 8 of 9 games. And in a game in which they needed him the most, regular postseason, his fewest receiving yards in a game. Now, I took the under this because I thought L'Jarius Sneed was going to shut him down, and the Chiefs have done a very good job at perimeter wide receivers, and Diggs has been bad, and I thought that 61.5, I think that was his line, was just way too high. But, like, what do you think about Diggs next year?
It's funny because watching that game, and everyone's going to focus on the Bills' defense needing to be improved. Bills' defense lost all its players, like Milano, Trey White, these guys. Like, the defense will be fine, I think, enough next year. What this team needs is a number one wide receiver because they don't have it at the moment. The way Diggs played, not just the second half of the season, it started before then. Like, he is not a number one receiver in this iteration unless he was really hurt and just played through something the whole year, because that's what they need. And the difference in this game was that, again, Mahomes is, it's 7.7 yards per play, and for the Bills it's 4.7 because they had no explosives. There was no 20-yard play for Josh Allen in this game through the air or on his legs. It was just all running, short stuff, and that's why they lost, because they couldn't score as quickly as the Chiefs.
Not having Gabe Davis obviously hurt, and they got really nice performances. Kincaid played well. James Cook played well. There's some nice pieces there, but to your point, that's just, when you're Stephon Diggs and you're paid what you're paid, like, that's a catch you got to make.
Yep.
I get it. It was good coverage, but that's a catch you got to make.
I mean, the ball's right there. 62 yards.
Yeah.
Air
that
yards.
That throw was a movie. That was magnificent.
It'll probably be the best throw of this entire playoff.
Yeah.
And it wasn't completed.
Yeah.
I mean, you factor in it's in Buffalo. It is still windy and cold there. And that ball just rips through everything right
now. Had the beauty on the left sideline to Sherfield as well, which comes off his hands, body, too. So, tough night for Josh Allen. He really couldn't have done much more. And, I mean, everyone talks about this Joe Brady offense, about how they're running the ball more and there's more balance, and they completely destroyed Dallas, and Allen only had to complete 7 passes in that game. Like, at the same time, it's like you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. Like, stop giving it to James Cook. Despite your rushing prop, stop giving it to him and just let. Like, now is the time to let Josh put his cape on.
Stop.
Why'd you lock the cape away? This is when you need it. And it was disappointing that, I mean, again, with the season on the line, Josh Allen has 186 passing yards. Like, they should have given him the ball more.
And we heard his frustration after the game. So let's take a listen to that after a great performance from Josh Allen that came up short.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Losing them, losing anybody. At home, sucks. Here, there, it doesn't matter. You just, losing sucks. I don't know what else to say. Yeah, I don't think it's a big change. I think it's just, again, we gotta find a way to score one more point than they do. And every season, if you don't win, it's a failed season. That's the nature of the business. You know, there's one happy team at the end of the season, really. And when it's not you, when you're so close, it sucks.
It really, really does suck. I feel bad for Josh Allen. I feel bad for Bills fans, Bills Mafia. It's a great city. It's a great fan base. One of my favorite nights ever, magical night in Buffalo with Jay Croucher.
Yes,
always a memory. Incredible. If there are some bright spots, obviously, to your point, Josh Allen played very well. I'm with you on the defense. Khalil Shakir, I mean, they found something this year in James Cook and Dalton Kincaid. Both guys kind of emerged this year. And they may have found something in Khalil Shakir, who last year had flashes, Connor, but, you know, finished with double-digit fantasy points each of his final three games. You know, they were looking for him. He made plays. Like, he's fast and seems to have expanded his route tree significantly.
And he makes tough catches, right? It felt like this is an offense that really needs somebody that can make the tough catch. I mean, we've seen Diggs have uncharacteristic drops this season. Now they've added two guys between him and Kincaid that are very reliable for a quarterback that when he runs around like a maniac, you're looking for somebody that's reliable. That's what he's become.
He's their best wide receiver down the stretch, and he was the guy. Right. And they really, really miss Gabe Davis today, and that's a problem. Like, if you miss Gabe Davis that much,
he's a free agent now.
Yeah. Listen, and Khalil Shakir should not be your best player. No. I mean, again, nice player, really nice story. I think there's some interesting upside, and he'll be a fantasy sleeper next year, but, like, he should not be, you know, the number two seed in the AFC's best player
yep.
on, a passing game. I should say as well. The last thing I want to say on the Chiefs, just we got some time. We got four games. Where are you going? We didn't really talk about Isaiah Pacheco at all, so I just want to sort of circle back there. Just really impressive with Pacheco, who, including the playoffs, has now scored in five of the past six. He's had at least 100 yards from scrimmage in three of the past five as well. And three of the past five, he's also averaging over 6 yards per carry. Jerry McKinnon's on the IR, but I don't know that he gets his job back. Pacheco, I think, next year is going to be, enter the season as a, presumed kind of workhorse back, kind of a old school Andy Reid running back. They're back in the day, you think about sort of Brian Westbrook, again, very different player, obviously, but prior to Kansas City, in Philadelphia, Andy Reid often had sort of one main running back. And then early in his Kansas City run, he had kind of one main running back. Who can ever forget Charcandrick West?
Yeah, the great Charcandrick West. Yeah, I mean, Pacheco.
But you know what I mean? It's been a little bit of a committee the last couple of years, right. But I feel like Pacheco's now the man.
Yep, and they leaned into him at the end of last season as well. It seems like he's trending towards more being a three-down type of guy. I think as well, the matchup against Baltimore is somewhat favorable. That's this Baltimore team that, they were excellent against the run against Houston, but for most of the season, they haven't been super efficient as a run defense. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of Isaiah Pacheco next week. Yeah.
The only way to put a bow on this game is, of course, unfortunately, to mention kickers. And kickers drink free here at the Happy Hour Bar
kickers,
today.
Kickers and the people that love them.
Yes, and if any of those out there that support, root for them,
related to them,
yes.
Married to them.
Write about them. Anything you need.
Yeah, Denny Carter reporting one out for you as well. Have relations with them. Yeah.
What's so funny about this?
Dog sit for them.
He missed the kick, and of course that's what gets talked about. Does anybody in the world think Mahomes wasn't going down the field and getting 3 points?
That's the thing. They lost that game when Allen didn't hit the touchdown.
When he trotted out there to kick the ball, it didn't matter going in or not. The game was
Mahomes
over.
Mahomes is
going
to score. They would have needed a fluke moment to be able to win that game. They lost that game on second and third down.
And Josh Allen,
that kick wasn't even close.
Yeah, by the way, and I mean the truth of the matter is right. Not only that, but also we didn't even get into Mecole Hardman, who I think had the worst stat line of any wide receiver in a playoff game ever. Mecole Hardman was something wasn't zero receptions, 0 yards, 2 fumbles.
He touched the ball twice and he fumbled on both plays.
Both plays, yes. Yes.
He had -1 rushing yards.
He's going to the AFC Championship.
Right.
See, now this is a touchback fumble.
But my point is that any normal play call, this is also a touchdown. For them to lose by a field goal, the truth of the matter is that again, this should have been a touchdown for the Chiefs. Bills sort of get bailed out by a terrible play call and a terrible play. They get bailed out by the fact that on the final drive, Allen should have fumbled. It probably should never even come down to Telebass's field goal. Nobody falls on it. So there's a number of, as you see here, Mecole Hardman, this was his first fumble of the game. He was able to recover the second, but...
This is why the touchback rule is good, because Mecole Hardman needs to be punished for his crimes on the football field. That play should have a bigger penalty than your typical fumble, because it was so stupid with the game in that position. I understand the penalty is extremely hefty. Take care of the ball in the most prime real estate on the field. I don't know if it should be the way I would do it. We're talking about this on the prequel. I would say that the Bills, they should get the ball back, but at the one. At the
that
one
I'm good
instead
with.
Of the 20.
Me too.
To me, that I'm good with. It just feels too much of a penalty. I think I saw Jeremy Fowler say there is some momentum to change this rule. I know most people don't like this rule. Every other spot on the field, you fumble out of bounds, and it's whoever touched it last gets it at the place. Touchdown of man. Here's the tweet from Jeremy Fowler, my former colleague and also my current friend from ESPN. Good change.
Soon to be former friend. Yeah.
No, I was going to say former friend and colleague, but I'm friends with him. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, good chance the touchback rule for the fumbling through the end zone will be changed this offseason. Momentum behind NFL correcting it. Penalty considered by many to be too harsh. Many, but not Jay Croucher. You think it's correctly. It's just harsh enough.
I think so. Yeah, why not? Why not have an extra penalty in that space?
Well, it incentivizes, like you said, taking care of the ball. Bill Belichick has always coached his players, do not ever reach out for the goal line because of that rule.
Yep.
No, so exactly. it's
I think it's
coached.
A little bit I think getting it at the 20 is a bit too much. Give it to him at the 1. In the 1 is you're still in a tough spot as an offense.
That's what I'm fine with, but if you fumble, you should lose the ball.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean The problem is that the ends, the rules are, this is, I don't want to delve into the whole thing. The rules around the end zone are super inconsistent.
Yes.
In terms of, like, you cross the plane at one point, it's a touchdown, but on the, you know, you have to get 2 feet in. Like, anyway, don't get me started.
Inconsistency in NFL rules?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It's like the catch. Like, I still maintain that Lee Evans caught that ball in the end zone against the Patriots in the AFC title game, like, 15 years ago, whenever that was. Like, it just feels like, yeah, it's a different sport in the end zone in terms of what is a catch, breaking the plane or not. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit confusing for sure.
Let's move to the game that you were at. Bucks, yeah. Lions, of course. A wild environment.
Amazing.
In Detroit.
Amazing.
I mean, from
one pride, baby.
Yeah, it really was. Obviously, the Lions moving on to the NFC title game, in a game that we'll get to the Bucks in just a second. Baker Mayfield really left it all out there for them. But Matthew, and you were obviously at this one. Jahmyr Gibbs, talk about making the most of your touches in this game.
He was, you know, he's electric. Every time, yes, he touches the ball, you're just sort of like, you're like, I get it,
it's
right?
Different.
You know, he's effective on the ground, right? He had that big 31-yard rush, which was huge. You're seeing it right here, just hitting the hole and just, you know, and then hitting the gas all the way to the end zone. Just a huge game here. He's also such a weapon in the passing game. 40 or more receiving yards in both postseason games. He's the first Detroit running back with over 100 yards from scrimmage in a playoff game since Barry Sanders, also against Tampa Bay, also against our colleague Tony Dungy, who was the coach of the Buccaneers at the time as well. Gibbs has a little bit of Barry to him. I know that's sacrilege to say because Barry Sanders is, of course, Barry Sanders, but there's a little bit.
Yeah, it's hard to get a hand on Jahmyr Gibbs. It just feels like every movement is so different, and it leaves defenders confused. As you see here, 9 carries, 74 yards. He also caught 4 passes for 40 yards, had the touchdown as well. The Lions have really gotten him involved in the second half of this season, obviously now leaning on him in the playoffs.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
He's one of their best weapons on the offensive side of the ball. They want to be a running team. The strength of that team is their offensive line. Gibbs is a weapon. Ben Johnson, future head coach of my beloved Washington Commanders, he said, speaking into existence. You know, Ben Johnson does a very creative job of getting him in space and trying to figure out different ways to get Jahmyr Gibbs the ball. It's going to be interesting to see how high we rank and how high he gets drafted next year, Jahmyr Gibbs, especially if Johnson does move on to a head coaching job, which is widely expected, and assuming they bring David Montgomery back or somebody like him.
Yeah, I think Montgomery will be there.
I do,
so
too.
You're just dealing with that kind of work share.
That's the thing, because like Gibbs on talent, he might already be a top 5 running back,
right,
in the sport, and if they just were to give him more of a work, like, he could be the number 1 player in fantasy next year. Like, that's not within the realm of outcomes for a lot of people,
right,
but he would be on that type of list. Yeah, he was magnificent, and it was against a really good rushing defense as well in Tampa Bay. Also, shout out to a friend of the show, Craig Reynolds, who they gave the ball to,
yes,
in the biggest spot of the season, and
yes,
Uncle Craig delivered with,
yeah,
a little tutty.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And when we say friend of the show, you're like, well, I don't remember a Craig Reynolds interview. And the fact of the matter is you're right. We've never actually interviewed Craig Reynolds. But Penn State Blake claims to be very close friends with Craig Reynolds. Yeah. And we tend to believe this, and I'll tell you why, for two reasons why. Two reasons why. Number one is, like, if you're going to brag about being, friends with somebody,
yeah,
and make it, like, you're probably not picking Craig Reynolds to make it up, although it could be genius. He could be playing,
right,
chess while we're playing checkers. Like,
no one's going to believe it.
Right. Like, if I said I was, best friends with Amon Ross St. Brown, they might, yeah, be like, really,
yes,
dude? But saying I'm Craig Reynolds, no one's really going to push the envelope, like, dig deep into that one.
How do you fact check that?
Yeah, how do you, fact check that one? But have we ever gotten an exclusive interview with Craig Reynolds? We have not. You know, it's weird. We have gotten an exclusive interview with Amon Ross St. Brown.
That's true.
With Deebo Samuel, with Raheem Mostert, with Mark Andrews, with George Kittle, some CeeDee Lamb, some of the biggest stars of the NFL. We can't seem to get Craig Reynolds on the show.
Yep. Completely unrelated, but I just wanted you guys to know that I'm actually great friends with Trey Palmer. but yeah, we haven't had him on yet, but I will text Trey and try to get him on the show.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. I personally am, I'm best friends with Patrick Mahomes. Now,
yes,
he would not admit that. He likes to keep it secret, our relationship secret. But trust,
yes,
me,
it's a secret.
Me and Patty,
yeah,
we're tight. We're boys.
Glad you weren't in the suite last night.
Yeah.
Quite the suite.
It was quite a suite.
The underrated star of that suite was Pat Mahomes Sr., standing right in front of Mets legendary relief pitcher.
Yeah.
Just sitting there sipping his Bud Light. He kind of turned around when the girls were just going insane and just kept drinking his beer. Then you have Jason Kelce screaming. It was a wild contrast all around in that suite.
Legend. And you had Donna Kelce there, and you had the whole
looked fun.
The whole bishpuka.
Yeah. Which is odd you weren't there. You're best friends with Pat Mahomes.
I had it in my game in Detroit, you know, so I was – instead in a suite with Damian and Dev McCourty and Jason Garrett and the rest of the Football Night in America crew. Here you go. There's Jason Kelce getting out of the suite, shirtless, drinking a beer.
Tim's in sweats. That's
an incredible outfit.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed by the leap back into the suite. Leap.
That was pretty good. What do you think Jason Kelce does
now?
Next year? Is he into broadcasting?
He'll be great in media.
Yeah, I mean, his podcast is already massive success.
Is he going to be a game call? Is he going to call a game? Is he going to be in a studio?
Show.
Is he going to
be an eyebrow model?
Right. What's he going to, you know? Yeah. He can do it. World's his oyster.
It really is.
Probably a pre and post game on one of the national.
I feel like he's one of the rare people that has 100% approval rating as well. Like, how can you not like Jason Kelce? There are some people who don't like Travis Kelce, which also I don't understand too. Like, Kelce seems like the most likable person in the world. Like, what's your problem?
They don't like Travis Kelce because they're jealous.
Yes.
He should not be that good looking, that successful, that nice, and also get Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Like, there's this section of the Swifties that are highly protective of their queen, which I understand. Like, I'm a Swiftie as well, but I want her to find love. And she seems to have found it with Travis, so God bless. Hope those kids, you know, hope they get together, hope they get married, hope they have a billion kids, hope they have a wonderful life together. But there is a section, I think, that are angry.
Yes, I like it, the queen. It's like a kind of spider insect community.
No one's good enough for her.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
All right, somehow back to this game.
Yeah, Jared Goff?
Yeah, so Amon-Ra St. Brown, 14 targets in this game.
He was my best bet for this game. Like, and it didn't matter what the line was on Amon-Ra. It kept going up, you know, throughout the week. But I was just like, he's my ride or die. I started the season, the very first episode of Football Night in America this year was me declaring Amon-Ra St. Brown my ride or die at the Hall of Fame game. And so I'm like, last game of the season, I got to go out with Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I took the over on 91.5. Again, he got 14 targets.
Right, it was all there.
Great matchup. Bucks' second most slot yards are allowed over the regular season. You'd figure that Amon-Ra would just get a ton of looks. He did get a ton of looks. Finishes with 77, so he's, you know, 14 yards short. So my Mary's bet, my Mary's bet for the year finished 14-8 on the season.
Very strong.
And I'm like, you know,
profitable.
What? Profitable, very profitable. And you know what? I was like, if I'm going to go down with a ship, I'm going down with Amon-Ra. Who are we kidding?
Exactly right. Just a little note to tuck away for next year. Whenever the Lions play a blitzing defense, it is just all Laporta and St. Brown. That's all it goes to. When they played the Bucs back in week 6, those guys combined for 29 targets. On the weekend, they combined for 25 targets. Like, it's all Laporta and St. Brown against the blitz.
It was amazing. Going back to Ben Johnson, knowing in this game how weak the Bucs are in the slot, they had Amon-Ra, obviously, in the slot, and the Bucs dedicated so much attention to stopping him. Sam Laporta was succeeding playing out wide.
Which
is something he did do at Iowa.
Yeah.
Nobody cares because college tight end.
Yeah.
But you see it in a divisional round, and it was a success. He had 9 catches on 11 targets.
Seems like his knee's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, something's getting through.
So I'll just tell you guys this. My updated top 50, way, way, way too early top 50 for 2024 is available now on rotoworld.com. Of course, I'm a company man. My number one tight end in fantasy next year, Sam Laporta.
Yeah.
Am I crazy on that? Not at all.
It's kind of, who else is Mark Andrews?
Kelce would be the other considerations there.
And
I think it's Laporta.
Yep.
Right.
I think it's, you know.
It's a small field, and he's right. He'd be right at the top. Yeah. Be curious to see who they end up having to replace Ben Johnson with. But this offense, nothing's changing.
And they're going to keep the same offense, would be my expectation.
Somebody
they'll promote like a quarterback's coach or something like that.
They should bring in Brian Johnson. Just another B. Johnson and another guy who replaces a revolutionary OC. He can replace the Steichen, fails, and he replaces Ben Johnson.
Absolutely not. absolutely not. I refuse to let that happen to somebody who has Amon-Ra St. Brown on that same dynasty team that traded for Diggs and has Kupp and McCaffrey. Last thing here, just a small little weird note, but prior to just coming on the show, the Lions have signed Zach Ertz, and it's notable just because he's a big famous name. They lose Brock Wright to injury, which I assume this is kind of tight in depth with Sam Laporta. You know, he's got the brace on, but
he'll be out there.
Why not?
Yeah.
How quickly can Zach Ertz get up to speed? Like,
Well, he's probably only going to play 10, 15
right,
snaps.
Right, they'll get him like just a package.
Yeah, he'll be out there, and I mean, it's a good move. Why not?
Why not?
Once again, Laporta could be one hit from missing more time again, and Ertz is a vet that's still playing at a good level when he's healthy. Enough level as a backup tight end.
Yep. So. Just quickly on the Tampa Bay side, I thought Baker Mayfield played really well.
I know
he had a couple of backbreaking picks, but really good for Baker to have kind of his moment this season, really. These past couple of weeks, looks like he'll get franchise tagged, and I think it doesn't bode great for the Lions the way that he was able to march them down the field repeatedly, particularly if Debo Samuel is back. I suspect the Niners are going to have some success.
While my best bet for the game did not hit, my parlay actually did, and it was all Baker-based. To your point, I had Baker over the passing yards. And one of the points, to your point about the Lions secondary, one of the points I made was, like, the Lions have given up over 300 yards passing in four straight games, now five with Baker. But going into the game, they've given up in four straight, including to Nick Mullins, twice.
Yes.
Right? You know,
that should have been our clue.
Right? And so I took Baker over the passing yards. Yeah. I actually moved Mike Evans up. I think his receiving prop was 71.5. I took an alt line at 80. I actually moved that up. I took the over there and under on an alt line of Rashad White. Rushing, and so that all cashed. So my parlay cashed. So you're welcome, America. Like plus 300, and I mean that's like three straight in the playoff games. So
plus 300, pretty good. Somebody on this desk actually found a way to top that, though. This game was a bit of a cash cow for the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Listen in.
So I'm taking a same game parlay, Matthew,
in
Bucks Lions, and there's four components to it, four legs. It's Lions minus 6.5, Jared Goff over 278.5 passing yards, Jameson Williams over 34.5 receiving yards, and Rashad White under 55.5 rushing yards. And you know why I like this one, Matthew?
Yeah.
Because it already happened back in week 6 when these two teams played. This hit, all of these legs hit. The Lions blew out the Bucs, and that was in Tampa Bay. And the theory, the story behind this, is that the Bucs' pass defense gets lit up by Jared Goff. The Bucs are in a throw script themselves, so Rashad White's not running the ball, and Jared Goff connects deep with Jameson Williams at least once, and the Lions blow them out at plus 800.
Which is, just for you of keeping track at home, I'm going to let you do this math. You don't have to do this math for you. Plus 800, that's better than plus 300.
It is. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Significantly better odds. Yes. Well done, Jay. Great call by you. Listen, a couple of dicey ones.
Needed every loss.
I mean,
yard.
Right. James Williams over 34.5. He gets 35. Lions cover the 6.5. That easily could have gone the other way.
The two point goes the other way.
Rashad
White, you'd actually lost this bet, and then he lost some yards, and then you win this bet.
Lost. Yeah, just insane. Also, Jared Goff was no lock to go over 278.5 either. Yeah. He just squeaked over there. And so, look, unfortunately, some people, the Lions, they moved around a little bit. Williams actually came down a bit. Rashad White came down too. So not everyone would have got that, but that's why you got to get in.
That's why you watch us live and bet it as soon as Jay says it.
Yeah.
Watch the show on Peacock. Really well done from both of you guys on the same game parlays. Taking our first break. When we're back, more reactions from the divisional round. Of course, we're going to talk Packers, Niners, Ravens, Houston right after this.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.
Looking for a little more insight into betting the conference championship games this weekend? Jay and Drew Dinzik have you covered with Bet the Edge. New episodes are continuing to drop every weekday throughout the playoffs.
Really?
At 6 a.m. Eastern, Matthew. 6 a.m. Set your alarm clock.
Sure.
So get your day started with Jay and Drew. Whether you're targeting spreads and totals, circling player props, or looking for value in futures markets, they'll have you covered. What do you think of that?
I like that you say Jay and Drew Dinsett. Jay, yes. Apparently a household name.
He's like Prince.
Yes. Right,
yeah.
Madonna.
Yeah.
Right,
one
name.
Just Jay.
Yeah, just Jay.
I'm Neymar.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You got it covered.
Yeah, yeah. Ronaldo.
Ronaldo's a really good
exactly.
one, too.
Yep. Shaq.
Yep.
Yeah.
No.
You think Kobe.
Jay.
Yeah.
Next time you're on TV.
No, let's do it. Maybe we'll drop the A and the Y as well.
Why do I even need additional letters?
It's very clear what my name is just with the letter.
Yeah. That'd be phenomenal. All right, let's go back to Saturday. Divisional round recap continues. The Packers somehow lost to the Niners. Honestly, it's really wild. It felt like this was just in their lap for most of the game.
They should have won.
They should have won this
game. All I kept thinking of watching this, I was so frustrated. I was super annoyed because I wanted the Packers to win. Can I tell you why I wanted the Packers? And listen, the Niners are a great team. They're a great team, and I think they're the second-best team in the NFL after the Ravens. Like, you know, and they're an unbelievable team. But I was rooting against them for one very selfish reason, and here's the selfish reason. I have a friend that's a Niners fan, and I feel like that if the Niners win, that friend is going to be out in Las Vegas during the Super Bowl and is going to be hitting me up, like, get me into parties and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
I don't want to deal with that. I got my wife coming out. Like, I got you animals at Super Bowl week. I got a lot already to deal with.
We have some work to do.
I've got some work to do. Like, and I can't deal with...
Requests.
Yeah, requests. Yeah, and I know my friend will be out there if the Niners go to the Super Bowl. If the Niners don't, my friend won't be. And so...
Well,
I was rooting for the,
right
for the Packers.
The
and honestly, I also thought, by the way, I thought it's always fun to root for an underdog. I thought the Packers were the better team.
Oh,
I
definitely.
Thought the Packers deserved to win that game. All I kept thinking about as soon as that game was over and that they somehow lost that game was I thought about the Dennis Green rant. You remember Dennis Green, the legendary Vikings head coach? Steven, play the sound. This is from a long time ago, but this will be familiar to you. This is all I kept thinking about.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, Coach.
One of the all-time great press conference rants ever. They are who we thought we are. We let them off the hook. And that's how I have to feel like if you're Matt LaFleur, then you... By the way, the best part of that is just, thanks, coach, and he leaves.
Right.
It's the everyone's like stunned into silence and some reporter...
There's no follow-up to
thanks,
that.
Coach. Nah. It's like good. But that's... The Niners, they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. If you're the Packers, that's how you have to feel.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I mean, Purdy for the first three quarters, he was on a different planet. He was horrific. Credit to him, though. He got it together at the end, and they drove down, and it was Love who made the crippling mistakes. But, so Matthew, I watched this game with Connor Rogers. You were in Detroit. You couldn't come.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're out of the state. You're not going to change your plans.
Yeah, I'm not. But here's your mistake.
Yeah.
You should have texted all three of us, hey, guys, let's get together and watch the game, which I would have said, I can't. I'm going to Detroit. And you're like, well, we'll raise one for you. Knowing all well, you should have been like, I know Barry's not coming, but this way I get the credit. It's like when you invite. I got an invitation to a wedding this weekend, and it's in Poland. I swear to God.
It's a tough trip, right?
Barry does Krakow.
Right. And that's what, like, they know I'm not coming to Poland, but now I'm on the hook for a gift.
Yes.
Right? That's what it is. It's very smart. It's the people that invited me, they're like, Barry's not coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, let's hit him up for an effing gift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not cheap.
That's
he'll, like, and we're going to, like, you know, we'll send him the expensive gift, you know, the expensive list, the registry.
Yes. So, you're not getting the toaster.
No, of course not. So that's very smart by them, and that's what you should have done.
Because
I would have been like, you would have gotten credit for inviting me without actually worried, having any concern about me having to spend time with you out of the, you know, out of what you're contractually obligated to do.
Yep. I'll keep that in mind if there's an occasion in Vegas, perhaps, where I can, fake invite Matthew. But no, Connor and I were watching the game together without you, and I was stunned kind of by your confidence. Because so Anders Carlson, he misses the field goal. Niners get the ball back, and the line in the market, it's pick. It's pick at that point, because they're down four, and so they need to score a touchdown. And you were completely convinced that we were going to do it.
I sent out a couple beers live bet, pretty hardcore. Yeah, like, I've never been more sure the Niners were winning this game at that moment. It was minus 104.
Yeah.
I was like, this is robbery, which is not a smart thing to say. Not a smart thing to say, but worked out.
And they delivered. And it was never really on doubt. There was
no.
The only incompletion was Kittle's bad drop. And outside of that, it was like the anti-Josh Allen, where Purdy was terrible for three quarters and then brilliant at the end, as opposed to Allen, who was magnificent for three and a half and then just couldn't get it done. But I think my theory is that people are thinking like, oh, the Niners, you know, they're not going to win the Super Bowl because they just what they showed. I think that it's the other way, and it's more like this team got its bad one out of the way.
Correct.
And there is clearly just something about Purdy in the rain, because his two worst games outside of the Baltimore game were in the rain against Cleveland and against Bay. It just seems like he can't grip the ball.
Can throw a swing pass.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
And I think that that will be better.
It's supposed to be great weather on Sunday.
Yep.
And then Super Bowl's in a dome.
Exactly.
So I'm with you, by the way. I completely subscribe to that theory that, like, the chance to get them out was the chance.
Yeah.
And the Packers blew it. Like, they will not be – I would love to see the Lions in the Super Bowl. Just be a great story. They're so much
awesome.
Fun. Dan Campbell's press conference. It's like, you know, Amon Ra's my ride or die. Love, love, love for the Lions. But I think the Niners win this game. And I think it's probably not that close. I hope I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong. Please. I'm rooting legitimate for the Lions, one pride. But I will say that, they got – because, like, everything that could have gone wrong for them did. Not only was Purdy bad, Savage drops – that interception drop. Like, that's awful.
Right in his hands.
It's a pick six. That's a game changer. They don't make that play. They don't get the – on the first drive, they get down to the 10-yard line. It's third and one on the 10 or whatever, the 11. They don't get the first down. I thought they got completely screwed by the spot. You know what I mean? I actually thought Jordan Love got the first down on fourth down. But still, like, you can't have that drive and not come away with points against the 49ers.
Three times they went into the red zone, the Packers, and they scored 6 points from three occasions of the red zone. You can't beat San Francisco. They almost did beat San Francisco despite that.
And they should have.
Yeah.
Right. But like, and that was a tough pick. You know, you feel bad for Jordan Love because he was so brilliant for so long. But, like, again, just he didn't need to make the hero throw. It's only second down. Like, he had other guys lower the, you know, just. But, yeah, their offensive line just, you know, mostly got dominated. The big key here will be interesting is friend of the podcast, two-time friend of the podcast, Debo Samuel.
Current friend.
Yeah. Best friends.
Yes.
Like, you know, like. It's like it's him or Lawrence Jackson, who's on the show more. Debo Samuel.
It's close.
It is close. They don't know if they're going to have Debo.
No, exited the game early due to a shoulder injury. George Kittle, after the game on the injury, said, am I concerned about him not playing next week? Yeah, we're a different team without Debo. And Kyle Shanahan spoke, of course, after the game on it. A little vague, but he did speak on Debo's injury going forward.
On the severity of Debo's?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's he tried to come back, couldn't do it. I know he did something similar versus Cleveland, so we'll see tomorrow.
You mentioned having to adjust when Debo went out early. How does that change things for you on the offense?
It changes a lot of stuff. I mean, especially when you have wristbands and things like that, and you know, you just got to switch some guys around, which is always a challenge for those guys. It happened during the Cleveland game, and we didn't handle it that well. I thought we handled it better today than we did then, but it is a huge challenge. I mean, Debo's obviously one of our better players, but he also is a unique guy that goes to some certain spots. So you got to be adjusting that all game.
By the way, the three games that Debo missed earlier in the season, Brock Purdy averaged under 250 passing yards a game, had just two touchdowns and five interceptions over those 3 weeks. They lost all three games. Now, I think it's worth noting Trent Williams also missed time, and like that's a I don't think people understand what a massive loss that is, and they'll have Trent Williams on Sunday.
And Purdy's
still,
concussed as well.
Everything was wrong for them there.
But still, if they can't have Debo Samuel, that is a loss. Packers side of the ball, obviously a crushing loss. I think they should cut Anders Carlson. They need a new kicker next year. But the future is very bright for Jordan Love. We'll see if Aaron Jones comes back. The expectation is he will. But you think about just this entire Romeo Doubs and Dontayvion Wicks and Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and, like, Musgrave and Kraft. Like, there's – you've got to be really excited about the direction of the Packers if I'm a Green Bay fan.
Very bright future.
Our last game quickly here, guys. Baltimore takes care of business against Houston with a monster second half. Lamar Jackson – efficient through the air, 100 yards on the ground, two rushing touchdowns. I mean, he was just fantastic.
He was stupid. It was just, like, ridiculous.
Unstoppable, honestly.
Video game. Yes. Like, that's why Lamar Jackson's your MVP. You know, he's got more 100-yard rushing games in the postseason than any quarterback in NFL history. Cam Newton, last guy to have two passing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns in a playoff game. That was 2016. It's efficient. You know, you got some Zay Flowers, you got some Rashad Bateman. Isaiah Likely had a great touchdown catch. They'll probably get Mark Andrews back this week as well. Ravens is like a complete team. I was wrong on C.J. Stroud, just in this one sense. I was like, this isn't moments that could be too big for him. He's going to be great. He is that kid. He is still that kid. He's a super talented guy, but, like, just wasn't able to overcome the Ravens defense.
I didn't even think he was that bad. Like, he wasn't that bad.
He was fine.
It's just there was too tough of a matchup, and ultimately the better team won. Lamar, just quickly lasting on him, in the first half against the blitz, 3.5 seconds to throw, second half, 2.5 seconds. Like, he made the adjustment, and then it was just all over.
Yeah, this was the game where you felt Tank Dell missing, right? They needed that one more big playmaker, Houston, in the second half, and they just didn't have that answer.
And they didn't run that effectively. They have, for much of the year, but they just, the offensive line, the Texas offensive line, which was such a weakness at the beginning of the year, and then righted itself, and then just got dominated by the Ravens.
Taking our last...
They're not alone in that.
Our last break, when we're back, it is last call. We're taking a look ahead, of course, to the conference championship games and some best bets.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
At Vanguard, you're more than just an investor. You're an owner. That means your priorities are Vanguard's too. So whether you're planning for retirement or trying to save up for your next big adventure, Vanguard will work alongside you to set personalized investment goals. That's the value of ownership. All investing is subject to risk. Vanguard is owned by its funds, which are owned by Vanguard's fund shareholder clients. Vanguard Marketing Corporation Distributor.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours.
It's time for last call. Let's take a look at the conference championship spreads and totals. Jay, are you leaning any way on one of these games?
I am. I'm leaning towards the mighty San Francisco 49ers, who didn't look so mighty on the weekend. But as we talked about, I think they got the bad one out of their system. I think Brock Purdy will be better. I think the Lions secondary, which could not stop Baker Mayfield, is not going to be able to stop Brock Purdy. It's going to be 70 degrees and dry, which I think is the key thing. And Jared Goff, as good as he's been, and he's been really good in the playoffs, at home, in the dome, now outdoors on the road, I don't think he is going to be as successful. So give me the Niners minus 6.5. Suspect this will go to 7 if Debo gets ruled in.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to take the Ravens minus 3. Again, like we sort of keep talking about, like, you know, some of these teams, they can't keep getting away with it. And I feel like the Chiefs are one of these teams. The Chiefs should have lost last night to the Bills. There have been a number of times we've seen it with the Eagles as well. We've saw it with the Cowboys. Like, I think the Chiefs are one of these teams that can't keep getting away with it. And so I like the Ravens at home minus 3. Like, the Bills were minus 2.5-point favorites to the Chiefs last night, and the Ravens are a lot better than the Bills. Like, you can't tell me they're only a half point better than the Bills. So give me the Ravens minus 3. I think this is their year.
Yep. I think with the Chiefs as well, their offense has looked amazing the past 2 weeks, but the Dolphins had no edge rushers and the Bills had no players left on defense. So now they go up against probably the best defense in football.
That's right. And they've struggled to stop the run, the Chiefs have. Yes. And obviously the Ravens, one of the best
attack in football.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take the under in Lions 49ers. Jay, I agree with you that the Niners get away with this game. I think it gets away from the Lions a little bit where they'll be in a run script. And listen, it's 51. That's a really high number. I think there will be a lot of points in this game, but I think it'll be a very fast clock in the second half that'll help them stay under that 51.
Yep. I think that's what people sometimes don't think about with totals, is that you just think like, oh, these offenses explosive.
Exactly.
Like, you've got to think about whether these teams run the ball, because the Niners, how they run the ball in the second, like, it will bleed clock, and McCaffrey may not come off the field.
Maybe no Debo.
Yep.
Keep an eye on Debo's status, which is a huge factor for their pass game all around.
Huge, yep. Huge factor. So, all right. So, no show tomorrow. We do have a show on Thursday. So, we will be back on Thursday. We'll preview the divisional championship round as well. We'll review all the different times that Jay and Connor have gotten together and talked without me. You know, and whatever. I'll see if I can get out of more weddings. For Jay and Connor, it's closing time. You don't have to go, but you can't stay here. I'm Matthew. Peace out.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Vanguard is working hard to balance opportunity and risk for investors in this time of volatile yields. We know financial advisors are working hard to do the same. Visit vanguard.com/fixed income today. Important information. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Bond funds are subject to the risk that an issuer will fail to make payments on time and that bond prices will decline because of rising interest rates or negative perceptions of an issuer's ability to make payments. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.